Let's bring John Molinaro, chief soccer reporter with Sportsnet on. John, thank you so much for joining us. I want to talk to you a little bit about the Jays pitching. And no, just kidding. Go ahead. I know what you want to say.
I was warned, John, just so you know.
I know what you want to say. I saw what you said. I know you want to say it, so just go ahead and say it.
What, about the 17,000?
Just go ahead and say it.
I just find it interesting that there was 17,000 and change at a protected dome last night for the Jays game, while 23,000 and change braved the, you know, the crappy weather to watch TFC. I just found that interesting.
Okay. And that there are how many home games in baseball?
Careless.
Anyhow, your point is well made. It was a fun night. It was cold and rainy. I mean, it was fun to watch the game, at least from the comfort of the palatial Blair Estates. Toronto wins. There's the altercation in the tunnel. Miguel Herrera is still a lunatic, so all's right with the world. I've got to ask you this, though. Does this set the stage for some type of shenanigans next week when TFC goes to Azteca to play Club America? I got a bad feeling about this. I see somebody's limb being broken. I just have a bad feeling based on the tenor of that game.
Well, I think that's what Herrera's intention was, right? Mm-hmm. To kind of set the stage for something like that. I mean, he's not one to sort of call things as they are. He sort of bloviates and he... you know, deflects about his team poor performances. And, you know, he was going on about the refs last night to, you know, a ridiculous degree. So I think he was kind of just setting his team up so that, you know, they could get the benefit of calls next week at Club America. Now, if it'll lead to, you know, any sort of chicanery, I mean, who knows? But I think that was clearly what his intention was, to sort of set the stage or something like that. Yeah.
There are enough guys in Toronto FC who've kind of gone down this road, aren't there now? You know, I mean, I'm not saying that it's the... But, you know, I look at... Well, we talked to Tim Bezbachenko about this. I mean, Gregory Vanderweel's played. I'm sure he's not going to be intimidated as Azteca. Michael Bradley's played there. Javanko seems to have put a target in his back, but when doesn't he have a target on his back? It's just like another MLS game for him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're going to be intimidated at all, as you said. They've got enough veteran guys there on the team who have played at Azteca or, you know, in similar situations. And I think the other thing is, too, is that, you know, they've played stride for stride with two of the top teams in Mexico so far in this competition, Tigres and Club America. So, and they've been full value for, you know, getting past those two teams so far. So I don't think there's any reason for them to be intimidated. They've been well worth their results. So I think they're going to go down there full of confidence and not the least bit intimidated. And they shouldn't be based on the way they've played so far.
Do you think that because of what happened last night and because of how hostile Mexico is right now, do you think TFC is going to have to bring extra security or take different measures?
I don't think so. I think, I think the whole tunnel thing was, you know, totally overblown. I think Herrera, you know, when he was talking about his players assaulted by police, you know, I take that with, you know, a silo of salt, never mind a grain of salt. So, you know, I don't think Toronto is really going to, they may take extra sort of precautions, but I don't think they're going to be particularly on edge about it. I don't think they're going to pay much mind to what happened last night. And I think they're just going to go about their business and focus on the task at hand, which is on the football.
Were you surprised that they were able to score three goals without Vasquez? They do have depth, but I kind of thought that he was going to be a pretty integral player when it came to a lot of the link up play in that in particular. Are you surprised that they were able to sort of run as well as they were without him?
Not really. You know, I think Jonathan Osorio and Marky Delgado have proven that, you know, they, even when Vasquez isn't there, they can sort of, you know, run things in midfield. And that was the case again last night. I mean, Delgado, I don't think he got enough credit on, I think, the Josie goal, because he took a bit of an assault from a Club America player, and then, you know, the ball ended up going to Javinko, who then set up Altidore. So I think, you know, those guys, again, Delgado and Osorio were, you know, kind of key figures last night. And, you know, as you said, this team has great depth and quality. It's beyond the sort of the starting 11. And, you know, they were missing Chris Mavinga and Justin Morrow, too, last night. So those are three key starters. And yet, you know, they put it to one of the best teams, club teams, in all of North America. So I think they can withstand, like, the loss of someone like Victor Vasquez. That's not to say he's not a valuable player of the team. Obviously, he is. But I don't think it's a crushing blow. And it didn't surprise me in the least that they were able to have that much success on the attacking end.
So this is a two-legged format. They won 3-1. What's the plan for TFC going into Azteca?
Well, I think they have to be smart about this. I mean, Azteca isn't as intimidating as it once was.
Okay.
But it's still Azteca, right? It's still going to have, you know, 60, 70,000, whatever it is. So I think they can't go in there guns a-blazing. I don't think they will. I think Vanny's smart enough to know that they just have to play a smart game and play mistake-free and lock things down. And I don't suspect that they're going to go there, you know, full-out attack. And I think they're just going to just try to sit back a little bit, hit out on the counter, take the chances that they have. You know, not necessarily sort of force the issue, but just kind of be smart about it. I mean, they control this now, right? They can't afford to concede two goals. So I think they're clearly in the driver's seat now, and they just have to be smart about it.
John, what's your read on what Gregory Vanderweel's brought to this team? I mean, in some ways, he's been a bit of a polarizing figure to some degree for some TFC fans. He seems to have certainly upheld his end of the bargain in terms of filling in as a center back. I don't know if we necessarily thought we'd see him in that role all that much. But what's your read on him? I'm not going to ask you if you're surprised that he's able to do that, because he's a professional. But he does seem to be willing to sort of follow whatever it is that Greg Vanney wants him to do. And again, from a distance, he doesn't appear to me to be a guy who's come in here sort of expecting to run roughshod over the rest of this league.
No, I think that's quite right. And what's really impressed me the most about him is just his, you know, he's willing to accept whatever assignment Greg has kind of given him. And he's played him in a variety of positions, whether it be as a right defender or a right wing back. What's really sort of stood out for me is the past two games where he's played more of a central role in defense. And I think he's been a stabilizing sort of figure back there. He's very calm in possession, very calm on the ball. And I think the Reds have kind of needed that, especially against a team like Club America. It's not flashy by any means, but it's just kind of a steady, calming presence. And I think you need that against a team like Club America. So that's, especially the last two games, that's what's really kind of impressed me, is that versatility in playing in the middle and the calming presence that he's given the Reds at the back. I think it's been, you know, kind of one of the overlooked stories of TFC over these last two games, is the way he's kind of come into the center of that defense and really sort of quarterbacked it, to be perfectly frank.
John, how surprised were you with Ashton Morgan's goal last night? Such a big game.
Yeah, you know, such a great story, because he's the longest serving player in the history of the team. And, you know, he's suffered through some very lean years and, you know, was a regular starter at the beginning of his career. And then as TFC, you know, began to invest in players and brought in big stars like Michael Bradley and so what and so forth, he, you know, became a fringe player. So for him to put in a performance like that last night, it was great to see. Couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. But it really wasn't that much of a surprise, because he played last week against Real Salt Lake in MLS, and I thought he was, you know, one of TFC's better players on the field as well. So I think he's earning his time this season. He's really making the most of it. And, you know, aside from the goal, I mean, I just thought he was, you know, great again last night. And it was his sort of initial play, changing the point of attack on that sort of run up to the goal, that started it. And then sort of the way he kind of busted his butt to get in a goal scoring position just showed great, you know, work ethic on his part. So I thought it was just, you know, just reward for a guy who's been a very loyal servant and who's conducted himself with a great deal of class and dignity during his entire time with Toronto FC.
You know, we had John Herdman on last week talking a bit, and he was talking about Jonathan Osorio and the role he foresees Jonathan Osorio having in the Canadian team and the Canadian program. We obviously talked about him in the final last year and how he, you know, seemed to that series against Columbus seemed to almost be a point of transformation for him. He seemed to be a little more comfortable in the skin. You know, we saw that the goal they scored against Tigres, he was over in the corner celebrating, shaking his fist at the fans. Last night, now we're led to believe that he was involved in some way in that altercation in the tunnel. You know, I guess the pro TFC story would be that he was sort of standing up for his teammate and trying to separate Sebastian Giovinco from the pack. It seems to me that a lot of things that happen with Toronto FC these days, Jonathan Osorio is in the middle of it in more ways than one. It really is a continuing transformation in this guy's career, isn't it?
It is. I think there's been a great maturity both on and off the field for John. You know, when he, you know, being a starter for so many years and then last year, you know, relegated as a bench player when, you know, Vasquez kind of came in and the ascent of Marky Delgado. I don't think he initially took it well. But then, you know, sort of Vanny and former Canadian coach Octavio Zambrano sat down with him and told him, you know, how they'd like to see his game sort of develop a little bit more, becoming more of a two-way player, more of a defensive player. And something just in him clicked. Why he took the advice so well, I don't know, but he just seemed to get it. And I think ever since then, he's been, I think, routinely one of TSC's best players on the pitch. And he's been, as you said, I think central to a lot of the things, a lot of the good things that the team has done over the last, you know, 6 months. So it's good for John. I mean, I have a great deal of time for him just as a Canadian player and someone who, you know, represents his country and city with such, with such passion. So, yeah, it's good for John. And I think he's been, as I said, just a great asset to the team, especially over the last year.
John, we're going to let you run. Thanks so much for doing this.
The White Sox.